You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Mohler, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Before we talk about what the prophets or those who put themselves forward as prophets are prophesying, what they're saying is going to happen in 2020, maybe it's important that we ask the question, why do they feel the need to make a prediction for the coming year? This has become standard fare. The biggest names in pop Christianity make this part of their new year schedule. They give their congregation, maybe even the entire church, a prophetic word they say comes from the Lord. Now, I don't know if they're cross-referencing these to make sure that they don't contradict one another, or maybe they play it safe and make them so incredibly vague that this prophecy can really fit into just about any outcome for 2020. Joining us for this week in Pop Christianity on this Friday afternoon to talk about some 2020 prophecies, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into the what, and there's a lot of what to play today, why are so many leaders in pop Christianity stepping out and prophesying at the beginning of the year?
So for a large portion of them, this is about practicing what they preach. In the last few decades, the Latter Rain movement, which eventually morphed into the New Apostolic Reformation, they were giving prophecies claiming that God was going to restore to the church prophets and then later apostles, and now they claim that God has done that. And so as part of their theology, one of the verses that is kind of tantamount in these types of churches is Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And I'll read it out of context because they do as well. And here's what the text says. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And so they say, see, look, God doesn't do anything unless he reveals his secrets to the servants as prophets. God has restored prophets today. Therefore, God is going to reveal to us his secrets so that we can have the inside track about what God is doing, where the world is going, so that Christians are prepared. And by being prepared and knowing what's going to happen, then that would become, in their way of thinking, a great evangelistic point where it's your pagan neighbor would sit there and go, wow, how'd you know what was going to happen this year? Well, you know, God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his servants, the prophets, and I follow prophet so-and-so, and prophet so-and-so said that this is the thing that was going to happen, and it did. And they believe that that then becomes a sign or a wonder that proves the existence of God, which would then cause your pagan neighbors to want to become Christians. That's kind of the fuller explanation of it. But at its root, they really believe Amos 3:7 out of context. If you go and read it in context, starting at the beginning of Amos, it's very clear that God is speaking to the people of Israel in the ancient theocracy of Israel. He's not talking about some ongoing prophets that would exist in the church, you know, on into, you know, until the eschaton. That's not what's being talked about there, but that's the reason why.
Briefly describe how widespread this is.
It is extremely widespread. It's as widespread as the flu is during flu season, is the best way I could put it. And what I tried to do with the sound bites today is to give a sampling from across the spectrum, because on the one hand you have open charismatics who engage in these types of things, but this is also there's a form of it that shows up in the mildly charismatic churches, where you have a vision casting leader, where they may not operate in like open manifestations of tongues and things like this, or claim that the pastor is a prophet, but they claim that the pastor is definitely hearing directly from God. And so New Year's Eve is actually celebrated twice a year in many evangelical churches. First at Rosh Hashanah, when the Jewish New Year flips over, because they think that has prophetic significance, and that's always in the fall. And then at the beginning of the new year, you know, it gives them an opportunity then to then give the word of the Lord for the calendar year following the Gregorian calendar. So this is very widespread. This is a very standard practice, and people who attend evangelical megachurches get a version of this with vision casting sermons and claims that God is giving them a unique theme or word to follow for any given year.
What are we going to be hearing first? As you said, it's a cross-section, so a little bit of everything in terms of pop Christianity and prophecy.
Correct. So we're going to start with Cindy Jacobs. Cindy Jacobs is a prophet within the New Apostolic Reformation, and she doesn't give prophecies very often that she claims God spoke directly to her. So when it comes to the annual prophecies for the beginning of the year, at her church in Texas, the Trinity Church, they host prophets from around the world. They convene there at the Trinity Church, and it's called the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. And they get together and pray and fast and call out to God, what are you saying for the coming year? And then they collectively put out the prophecy for the word of the Lord, what God is saying for the upcoming year. And so this has the stamp of approval of some very well-known, noted prophets within the charismatic and NAR movements. But it's not a singular person. It's a group.
So we're going to talk about what God wants to do in your life. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord? Amen. Well, God, when we were meeting here with the prophets and we had the Global Prophetic Summit here, and we have 50 speakers. Listen, you just can't imagine what it's like when you have 50 speakers to put that thing together. It's a job. And so anyway, they kept saying something over and over, reset, reset, reset. That it was a year of reset. In fact, God gave me three words, reset, restitution, and restoration. Amen? How many would like some restitution? How many would like some restoration? Amen. Well, that's, you know, God wants to give us that. In fact, I put this at the end, but I'm going to read it now. In the book of Joel 2:25, it says, so I will, not I might, I will restore to you the years of swarming locusts, of eating the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts, my great army, which I sent among you. I was preaching to two nights ago and near Denton for my friend Chuck Pierce, and I said, you know, not only what happened when a swarm of locusts came in to destroy, not only did the locusts destroy that year's harvest, but they would lay their eggs and they would hatch. And Chuck, and so it was years that were destroyed. And Chuck said, after a locust swarm, 17 years it would take to completely restore. Amen. So we're going to say, all right, whatever kind of thing has come in to destroy our life, we are going to believe for restitution and restoration. Can I get an amen on that?
Okay, so she was trying to summarize this council of prophets, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What was the actual prophecy?
Reset, restitution, and some other R word. You'll notice that these are very vague. And I've noted over the past few years that the prophecies for the year coming out of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders has been noticeably becoming more and more blurry. It could be just about anything. So this is a year of reset. God wants to reset things in your life. What things? I don't know. Whatever things in your life get reset, you can sit there and go, hey, wow, you know, my computer had a hard reset this morning. So it must be a fulfillment of the prophecy of 2020. And then restitution and restoration, these ideas that the devil has taken things from you, and this is the year that God's going to restore those things to you, apparently. So, yeah, you know, really vague. It can mean just about anything. And in years past, I've called these prophetic onesies. These are one size fits all. You know, so you know it could, anything in your life could just about fulfill this. You know, that's how vague they are.
And is that part of the reason for the success of this? I mean, if I were like stepping out like some alleged prophets have in the past and getting really specific about things, world events or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
it's only so long before people stop listening to me when those things don't come to pass.
Yes, although I will say this, is that there is more and more in the Charismatic and NAR a pushback against the biblical standards regarding what constitutes a false prophet. And you have people in the Charismatic and NAR movement now who openly say that the standard from Deuteronomy 18, that, you know, if a prophet speaks a word and it doesn't come to pass, that is a word the Lord has not spoken, and that prophet has spoken presumptuously, and then the death penalty is invoked, they'll say, oh, that's just old covenant. That's just old. That doesn't apply in the new. And so one of the phenomena we've seen is that even in the charismatic movement, they recognize that the prophecies that are being spoken today do not have apostolic and biblical qualities to them, that these are somehow lesser prophecies, but they're not any less a prophecy. And so if a prophet gives a prophecy that doesn't come to pass, more and more within the charismatic movement and the NAR, people are not held accountable. I would note that down in Australia, Phil Pringle, noted former Assemblies of God, he's an NAR guy, he's got, you know, churches around the world in the C3 movement. For more than a decade, he's been giving a prophecy that he claimed came from God. He called it the 2020 vision. And the church's finances, their money-raising schemes, how they organized everything was all around fulfilling the 2020 vision, where he claimed that by the year 2020, they would have 1,000 C3 churches around the world. And they came close to reaching about halfway point. And at near the end of the year, Phil Pringle, you know, basically got up and said, this isn't a problem. This isn't a problem. We're just going to revive, and add to the 2020 vision, even though we didn't hit the time frame that God said we would hit it. And nobody cares. Nobody says, false prophet. That nowadays it's like, well, you know, he just didn't hear accurately, apparently. So it's weird that God, in their mind, can communicate without actually, you know, being heard.
Who is Russ Walden, and what are we going to hear from him?
Okay, Russ Walden is a Father's Heart Ministry. He is a YouTube prophet, very popular in the charismatic and NAR movement. And this is an example of a prophecy claiming to be direct revelation from God.
Hello, this is Russ and Kitty Walden with Father's Heart Ministry. This is the prophetic word for 2020. The Father says today that the word for 2020 is, as in heaven, so on earth. In Lazarus and the rich man's case, there was a great gulf that kept hell at bay. But your life is not intended to be a living hell. The Father says to you, I have placed a gulf, a hedge around you, to keep hell at bay and all of its influences. It is a hedge held intact by the shed blood of the cross to protect you, says God, to keep you, says God, and to preserve you in every aspect of your life. I keep hell back by this means, but beloved, I have done nothing to keep heaven from coming to earth in your life in this season and in the year ahead. Heaven is pressing into your life this year. There is no fixed barrier between heaven and earth other than that which your prayers traverse. To open by your faith the floodgates of my goodness, to allow the pouring out of my as in heaven, so on earth reality in your life, in your relationships, and every area of concern that touches your existence. There is no lack in the heavens says the Father. Therefore, I would, and I have made provision that there be no lack in your life in 2020. There is no poverty, no scarcity, or deficiency of any kind. There is no anxiety or basis for concern. That is the dwelling place. That is the enter into your 2020 dwelling place that I have prepared for you. This is your entering in time. Your entering in time is now. There is no sickness in heaven. Therefore, there is no part of my plan for your life, beloved, in 2020 that includes sickness. Sickness is excluded from your life in 2020. Torment is excluded from your life in 2020. Pain is excluded from your life in 2020.
Those are some big promises, Chris, with about 30 seconds here. He is claiming he's channeling God on this, isn't he?
Right. You'll notice the first person. He's speaking for God in the first person. And apparently no sickness or torment or pain or anything is coming in 2020. And it's like, well, man, I wish I'd seen this earlier because I got the flu right at the beginning of the year. And it would have been really helpful if I had this prophetic word spoken over me prior to that. But you'll note that in his case, he's taking risks that Cindy Jacobs doesn't take. And in speaking for God, you know, immediately, you know, somebody who hears this and then suffers torment or anxiety or pain or illness, they are immediately going to ask the question, well, I thought this was the year that that wasn't supposed to happen. And if you were to contact a prophet like Russ and say, why am I having this when you told me I wouldn't? They would flip it on you and say, it's your fault you didn't have enough faith or you didn't activate the prophecy.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going through a cross-section of 2020 prophecies.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. We're talking 2020 prophecies with Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Grace is the theme of the January issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns from Issues, Etc., regular guests John Kleinig, Matt Harrison, Tyler Arnold, and Gene Edward Veith. The Lutheran Witness is available online and in print. Learn more at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness, or call 1-800-325-3040. Chris, we heard Russ Walden before the break. How would you explain his reasoning?
Okay, so he said the prophecy was about on earth as it is in heaven. Those words should sound familiar to everybody because those are part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what happens is that the charismatic and NAR, they take those words out of context from the Lord's Prayer, and they reason kind of like this. They'll say, well, in heaven, there is no poverty. In heaven, there is no lack. In heaven, there is no sickness. So that when you're praying on earth as it is in heaven, what you're doing is you're bringing heaven down to earth. You're activating it and appropriating it in your life so that you will have no poverty, you will have no sickness, you will have no lack. And this is really silly because I always like to point out to people, well, there's no sexual intercourse in heaven either. Are we going to pull that down? And there's no sin either in heaven. Are you sinless yet? You see, they're misusing it. And so what Russ was doing was pulling on a very, very popular charismatic trope maybe that's the right way of putting it, and then interweaving that into his prophetic word for 2020.
So it's a little trick they like to play.
Yes.
Where they can cantilever or overextend a verse into essentially to say, anytime I want to say something's going on in heaven, I can say it's also going to happen on earth.
Correct. Right. Yes. And they really like to appropriate that when it comes to health and finances. That seems to be their focus. Oddly enough, if you were to consider Jim Wallace, the red letter Christians, the liberals, the SJW liberals, they use the Lord's Prayer in a similar fashion to say that there's no systemic poverty in heaven. Therefore, we the Lord's Prayer mandates that that we alleviate all poverty on earth. That's how they appropriate. Similarly, kind of twist.
Real quick question before we go on to the next big name here, and that is, why is it so often money and health?
Because in this lifetime, we are given by God to work under the curse. We are to toil. We are to put bread on our table by the sweat of our brows. This is a consequence of our rebellion against God. And so because of that, it is a common, universal human anxiety when it comes to having enough money to pay your bills, to feed your family, to put a roof over your head. And then health, oftentimes, as a result of the curse, you hit a particular age and things start falling off and falling apart. And so what happens is the charismatic movement comes along and focuses on these things to try to make it appear like they have a magical, miraculous solution. All you've got to do is activate this prophecy, believe these things, say those words, and money and health are on their way. These are the common consequences of our sin. And the solutions that they're given are not biblical. This is just a form of scratching itching ears and playing on people's anxiety and greed.
Well, here's a man who needs no introduction, but nonetheless, if you would, acquaint us with Kenneth Copeland and give us a little preview of what we're going to hear from him.
Yeah, Kenneth Copeland, it's like the godfather of the Word of Faith heresy. And he is the elder statesman of the TBN set. And he every year claims to be receiving a direct revelation from God. And as we listen to him, we're going to note that his direct revelation, he also speaks for God in first person. But there's kind of two focuses to it, one political and one a little bit more general. But I'll let him explain.
I was just sitting there and this began to just work in my spirit. This was on Tuesday, October the 1st, 2019, during the Victorthon. Those politicians that refuse my call to unite and become the United States of America and not just America, those politicians that refuse to listen, those politicians that continue the pathway of hate, I will remove them from their place and I will remove their influence from the record books. Oh, wait a minute. Don't do that yet. You can't hear well. Wait till we get done. You ain't heard nothing yet. I will remove them from their place. I will remove their influence from the record books. I will remove their candle in their families. I will remove them from office and put somebody in there that will. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, that was on the 1st of October. Now, I had heard this already. Some time before this, the first thing I heard about the year 2020. 2020 just yielded itself to vision, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Like Hank Kuhneman said, the young prophet in Omaha, Nebraska, my, came out of this ministry, just powerful man of God. And he began to talk about double vision. The Lord said to me, the year of 2020 will be the year that, let me turn over there to Acts 2:16. When Peter quoted the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost. And he said, and the Lord said to me, 2020 will be the year. It'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And the Lord said to me, 2020 will be the time when there'll be great increase in dreams and visions.
Okay, Chris, a couple things there. First, with regard to Copeland's kind of safe prophecy on politicians, you know, the pool of politicians tends to turn over because of our political system.
Yeah.
Anybody who's out of office or back in office or any of those kinds of things could qualify to fit into that prediction, couldn't it?
Yeah, we'll note that we have a presidential election coming up this year. All the seats in the House of Representatives are up for re-election, certain ones in the Senate. And simply saying, I predict that certain people are going to lose while others are going to win. Some people are going to lose their influence while others are to be given influence. This isn't rocket surgery. I mean, you know, a kindergartner could make a prediction of that kind and nail it accurately. So you'll notice it was very safe. But there was kind of a threatening, ominous tone with which he delivered it. You know, like God was a little bit annoyed with particular politicians and was about ready to smite their political careers. At least that's how he delivered it. Yeah.
The other thing is, if I go back to and look at Acts chapter 2, what Peter actually says there. Peter says that what's happening there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel spoke on in those latter days.
Correct. That's called exegesis. And these guys don't engage in that. So you'll note that on the day of Pentecost, and this is a text we preach on every single year, on Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he delivers a brilliant, blistering sermon. But when the people were gathered around to figure out what was going on, he said this was the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. And he quotes those words. And so I always like to point out to people, that was fulfilled almost 2,000 years ago. How can that be the word of the Lord for today? And of course, my question is then, if that's the word of the Lord, that God's going to give more dreams and visions and stuff, do we have a baseline that, you know, there were this many dreams and visions in the year 2019, and now going into 2020, we can measure and say, look, there's been a significant increase in dreams and visions in the year 2020. Yeah, there's no way to verify that particular prophecy for 2020. It doesn't make any sense. And it's one that I hear used over and over and over again by prophets of all stripes throughout the Charismatic and NAR.
Who and what is next?
Okay. Next is Kay Nash. Kay Nash is a up-and-coming, becoming very popular YouTube prophetess. And she's going to be one of these ones who's going to give us a word of the Lord. But I have to warn your listeners, and that is that when she delivers the word of the Lord, she has a tendency to raise the volume of her speech to kind of add some oomph and authority to it. So be warned about that.
The word I'm feeling for 2020, Jesus, is fly, beloved. Hallelujah. This is what I felt. My children have been held back by fear for far too long in their lives. They have tried and have had clipped wings. They have felt stuck in many ways. But this year and this decade, they will not be held back if they seek me daily. Hallelujah. 2 hours a day for many of them, 1 hour for others, and 30 minutes for a few. All my children need to seek me and be full of presence. Whew. All my children need to stop looking at other people's fields and be working their own or risk getting distracted. They must push ahead their fear and break Python script. They must not be consumed by media that isn't pleasing to me with the cursing that it brings. They can no longer watch these things. They must have pure hearts before me, doing my work with joy and trembling. Some joy, some fear. My children need a balance. They must fear me and love me with all their heart. They must push past their fear and not get distracted. They must see things in new light. They must not manipulate or try to push my timing. Hallelujah. As my timing is now. Woo! They cannot see yet all I have for them in the spirit. They cannot see their lands well. They see in part and know in part. This is a new season. My fearless ones will rise and my fear-filled ones will fall. Hallelujah. Overcoming fear will be a theme this year and beyond. They will move intensely as though flying. They will push, woo, hallelujah. They will push back the devil's schemes. They will take over America for me. Many saved in India, Australia revival, Korea disfigured, Oman plentiful, Africa will worship me heavily. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that God was saying was we can't just spend a small period of time with him anymore. You know, if you're just getting started, okay, maybe 30 minutes are okay, but let's be real. At 30 minutes, it's just you dealing with your stuff. You're just talking to God about what's going on with you. You're just trying to get your life figured out. You're not being able to push in and push past into what's going on with the nations. You're not being able to push in and push past to see what's going to bring revival. You're not being able to push in and push past to know what your next book is going to be or what your television show is going to be. You got to get past this small amount of time with the Lord and push into the next season. Hallelujah. One of the things he says is that we're going to break Python's grip. Jesus. You know, Python can suffocate your time. It can suffocate your finances. And so it's important that you do not get distracted and get manipulated by this spirit. This spirit, remember, it pretends to be God. It has seemingly good things, but these things are distractions. These things are a waste of time. Just like the fortune teller girl in the Bible, Paul had to cast the Python spirit out of her.
Were you pleased with all the yummy sounds that are apparently now ubiquitous in prophecy?
Yeah.
So there was Python spirit. There was all kinds of things in there. How do you make sense of that?
Well, first, the whole tone. I mean, well, if we were to do law and gospel with this, that was all law. But I mean, it was like that. This was a prophetic nagging. I mean, there was nothing enjoyable about this at all. And on top of it, she doesn't make any sense. I mean, so it started off with, God's people have had their wings clipped and feel like they're stuck. Well, God's going to only unstick you if you spend more time with him. And for some people, that's going to be 30 minutes a day, and other people an hour, other people 2 hours. I'm thinking, well, how do I know which group that I fall into? I'm kind of hoping I'm in the 30-minute category, because if I'm in the 2 hour, you know, God's only going to unstick me if I spend 14 hours a week with him. And it sounds like and this was an ongoing thing in the explanation of the prophecy. It just had to keep going. All I can say is that this is a woman who has no concept whatsoever. She's never been properly catechized. She doesn't know what the Christian faith is. I guarantee you that if we offered to sow $1,000 into her ministry, she wouldn't be able from memory to quote the Apostles' Creed. She has no concept of the proper distinction of law and gospel. And on top of it, because she said things that are clearly contrary to what Scripture teaches regarding law and gospel and speaking in God's name, this is a clear example, and I mean very clear example, of somebody misusing God's name and taking it in vain and breaking the second commandment. And all of these people are doing this. It's just that with her, it's quite brazen and really out in the open. If you know your Bible at all, you can already begin to identify it. There's something really wrong with this so-called word of the Lord.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, some 2020 prophecies. We've got one more to play on the other side of the break. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Moeller, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're listening to a cross-section of 2020 prophecies coming from evangelicalism. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Join listeners from around the world for the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th in Chicago. This year's speaking lineup includes Dr. Albert Moeller, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Will Wheaton, Dr. Robert George, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, and Pastor Hans Feeney. Attendance is limited to 500. Save $15 by registering before April 1st. Find out more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The 2020 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Next, we're going to hear from Keith Kraft. Who is this and what will we hear, Chris?
Okay, Keith Kraft is the vision casting leader. He is a kind of a mild charismatic. He's a vision casting leader of Elevate Life Church in Frisco, Texas. And I picked him because he's a representative of many of the vision casting leaders within the purpose-driven and seeker-driven movement who claim that God gives specific words to focus their individual congregations over the course of a year.
Well, I've been so excited because for when I get these words from the Lord, this tradition, and it is a tradition for our family of choice, for our church, started in 2006 when we were 6 years old. And I began to realize something, that God had us on this trajectory of this supernatural experience of establishing this church in little bitty old Frisco, Texas in 2000 when there was only 28,000 people here. But God knew what was coming. He knew what he wanted to do, and he knew he wanted to gather a group of people that would help bring his kingdom from heaven to earth. And so in 2007, the word was favor. A divine advantage for success. In 2008, God gave me the word breakthrough. And that was where the leadershipology, when you grow through what you go through, you create breakthrough. Then in 2009, our word was elevate. And by the end of that year, on December 31st, 2009, we renamed our church, Elevate Life Church. That's how much these words mean to us. God gives us a word. We don't know what's going to happen with the word that I'm going to give you in just a few minutes. But I'm just telling you, these words are so significant that when God gave me this word in 2009, by the end of that year, we renamed our church Elevate Life Church. 2010, multiply. And that's exactly what began to happen in our church. In 2011, God gave me the word celebrate, because little did I know that by the time we got to 2012, we would move into this building. It would finally be done after years and years of building. And then in 2012, it was increase. And indeed, God began to increase us. 2013, enlarge. 2014, expand. 2015, empower. 2016, excel. 2017, grow. 2018, forward. 2019, anybody remember the word in 2019? Supernatural. The Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So once these words are given, and the reason I took time to give these words to you, and again, they'll be on the notes, I think, on our website, is because I want you to know, once these words are released, it's in the tapestry or the fabric of what God is doing right here in Frisco, Texas, that is touching the world and that will continue to touch the world. So now it's time for the word for 2020. Watch this. What it means, and I want you to get excited. Stuff's about to transform, y'all.
Kind of like the dropping of the ball in Times Square there at the end. What was the word?
Transformation.
This is kind of a study in how vision casting works nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm going to note that one of the major reasons why vision casting leaders will emphasize and claim that they're receiving direct revelation from God is because it gives them, for lack of a better way of putting it, it gives them a sense of authority to call the shots regarding their teams. I mean, because then to oppose or question or challenge the vision casting leader is not to challenge them, it's to challenge God. So returning to on a regular basis and repeating the vision that you claim God has given you, or adding to it with regularity, like once a year. I'll note that Stephen Furtick does this, so does T.D. Jakes. Other quite notable vision casting leaders also do this as well, that it creates the idea that, I call them the glow-in-the-dark people. You know, so Todd, we've met, we've spent time together. I can honestly say that I've never seen you glow in the dark. And as pastors go, you kind of seem like an ordinary guy. And me too, by the way, I don't glow in the dark either. But with these guys, when they're claiming they're hearing from God, this is the word that God has given me, and we're going to have a big fanfare, we're going to have a big hoopla, we're going to have a big buildup to releasing that word. All of that is designed to reinforce the authority of the vision casting leader and to make it very clear, to challenge this fellow is to challenge God, and you might not want to do that.
And there are many, many examples of where this has gone exactly down that very path, where
yep.
there have been people who have challenged various vision casting leader. I'm thinking Mark Driscoll,
yep.
but he's not alone in this, and they have been treated as though they were crossing God.
Yep, that's exactly right. In fact, with Mark Driscoll, who was, you know, the quintessential example of the seeker-driven vision casting leader. He was the poster child for the whole movement and how the movement operated, that when it came out that he was engaging in very, very toxic and abusive leadership practices, and that he had paid using church tithe money to game the system so that one of his books could make it on the New York Times bestseller list, that, you know, that when he was going to be held accountable for having done these things, he conveniently received a revelation from God saying that the restoration plan, the discipline plan that they put in place was a trap, and that he was not bound to submit himself to it, and that he was free to move on. It's always fascinating, the guy who hears directly from God, that when they end up being held accountable, God always speaks to them at the last minute and helps them avert any kind of accountability whatsoever.
Well, this is where the average Christian in pop Christianity is going to encounter this. They may not have a pastor who's making overt prophecies or saying, thus saith the Lord, and then speaking the first person, like we've heard today. Mm-hmm. But they are, most of them are going to hear their pastor saying that he has a God-given vision.
Yep.
And it may not just be once a year, it may be on a regular basis. How would you warn such Christians against this?
I would warn them that anybody who claims that they're receiving direct revelation from God is now somebody who falls into the category of a prophet, and you have to test them as to whether or not they are a true or a false prophet. And I have yet to see anybody who claims to be receiving direct revelation from God who is a sound exegete, who rightly handles God's word. And over and again, what I've seen is that the people who claim even kind of light versions of it. Today, I prepared my sermon, but then the Lord spoke to me and said, put your notes away. I want you to preach on this text, son. That happens all the time in evangelicalism, that when people are claiming direct revelation from this, you know, directly from God, they are a false teacher. By definition, you are in a lot of danger. You are not going to be taught the word of God correctly, which is really a dangerous thing, because when you start monkeying with core doctrines like the gospel itself, who Jesus Christ is, or even who the Spirit is, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 warns that that there is a false Jesus, a false Spirit, and a false gospel. And when somebody is claiming to hear directly from God, they're already in the category of a false spirit. And that you are in danger in those churches, and you need to leave before you are abused, manipulated, and or worse, deceived in such a way that it costs you your soul.
Finally, then, Chris, what kind of 2020 prophecies are you going to be making on tonight's Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be digging into Keith Kraft's form of vision casting on today's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
Listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after today's live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour. At piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church and host of Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. One from Joy Pullman, Michelle Williams' Golden Globe acceptance speech. Pastor Peter Bender brings us soundbite number two, The Miracle of Baptism. Soundbite number three comes from Terry Mattingly, talking about freedom of the press and freedom of religion. And soundbite number four on the irony of Jesus' baptism is from Dr. Carl Fakencher. We'll play them for you on the other side of the break. Then we'll take your votes. You can compare what each gospel writer wrote about Jesus and his ministry in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's titled Jesus, A Study of the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John costs $14.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Join the Conterai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for evening prayer from 7 to 8, Friday night, January the 10th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. The Conterai of Concordia Theological Seminary, Friday night at 7 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. classicalspecialneeds.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.